The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
You turn in your Bibles to Mark, the 10th chapter. I want to read a portion of Scripture. Mark, the 10th chapter. We'll read verse 17 down through verse 22. And as we read this, I'm going to take a different approach on the subject matter that we normally deal with when we come to this particular individual, the rich young ruler. I know that you're used to hearing it preached that this is not an offer of eternal salvation, that this man was already a child of God. I know you know that. I want to take a little bit different angle at this subject matter this morning, but let's read Mark 10. In verse 17, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' He's saying, What must I do to go to heaven?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." I want to ask you the question this morning: who are you following? Who are you following? Because Jesus' closing words to this rich young ruler was, "Follow me." I did a little useless research last week as I began to study this subject. And that research was on the internet, as I'm sure you could imagine. You can Google anything. And so I Googled social media sites. And this is what I found: that the top 8 or 10 social media sites, and let me say this is not a rant against social media. I'm not going to be that guy who, when I was 17, 19, 20, or 25, said, the preacher was preaching and looked at him and said, "He's just, railing against everything that I enjoy." In some ways, I feel like I have become that guy because we're living in such strange times. There's things that we have to call out and say, "This is right, this is wrong," okay? But I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm just sharing with you some statistics. Listen to this. The top 5 or 6 media sites, I'm going to give you 2 or 3. One, the number one is Facebook, of course. And listen to this statistic: 2 billion monthly subscribers. 2 billion. Now, I think there's 7 billion people on the earth now, right? Is that 6.5 or something like that? That's amazing, isn't it? A fifth or so of the entire planet is plugged into that. It says 1 billion daily go to Facebook. 1 billion. That's a lot of people, people. That's a lot of people. I can't comprehend that. 1 billion. And the next most popular site, social media site, was Twitter. And then you had LinkedIn. And of course, my favorite, all-time favorite, Instagram. That's just my favorite, I'm just kidding. I'm being facetious. I joke with my kids all the time, and I call it something that I don't need to say in the pulpit. But it's very akin to Instadumb. It's another word. Anyway, and I did a little further research and focused in on Instagram. And listen to me now. Listen very carefully. I'm not saying, "Oh my gosh, you've got to go home and just, dump all of your social media sites into the trash." And you older ones, if you don't even know what I'm talking about, well, praise God. I'm just using this as an example of following, okay? Because you follow people on these websites, especially Instagram. And it can become an obsession to many people. I don't have enough followers. Well, listen to this. The top Instagram followers, the number one is Selena Gomez. And I actually know who that is. Can y'all believe that? She has 133 million followers. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, how many people are here today? I'll be honest with you. I would love to have 133 million people following me, listening to the truth. I don't think that's going to happen, though. But so I promise you, as I'm sitting here looking at these sites and reviewing some of this stuff, I'm not going, ugh, I'm not scowling. I'm just sincerely interested in knowing information. What's going on here? So it didn't take me long to scroll down on Selena Gomez's Instagram pictures, because that's what Instagram is. It's like you're posting pictures, as you young guys know exactly what I'm talking about. And it didn't take long to find out, just a few little scrolls down, that she is anti-guns and pro-homosexual. I mean, just like that, just right on down. And how do you know that? Because she posts a picture that shows that. Okay. Then the second most popular person that's followed on Instagram was a guy named Cristiano Ronaldo, and he's supposed to be some kind of worldwide known football player, but not American football. Okay. It's soccer, and he has 123 million followers. And I saw, as I scrolled down through there, I found within a page or two that he supports. One of the things that said was trans rights are human rights, transvestite rights are human rights. And then, of course, there was a picture that posted a rainbow flag in support of the LGBT. Okay. Well, the next one, the third most popular, was Kim Kardashian with 112 million followers. And it took me, whoop, and I had to put the brakes on. It was unbelievable. But I'll tell you this. Just a picture or two, and you could tell what Kim Kardashian's all about, and it's all about her. You can't even look at it. I couldn't even look at it. I just had to get off as quick as I could. Now, listen, this is amazing to me. There was a guy on there that some of you probably are familiar with. Number four was Justin Bieber. I've never had Bieber fever. It's not happening for Brother Tim. But listen to this. And man, there was some bad stuff, some strange pictures and a lot of just weird stuff. But I found scripture on Justin Bieber's Instagram post. I couldn't believe it, because I'd been thinking, who's going to be the first one that I find in this top 10 that posts scripture? Justin Bieber quoted scripture. That's crazy, isn't it? And I didn't know he'd found the Lord, or the Lord had found him, as we would say. That was interesting. 100 million followers, quotes of scripture. Then I went and checked out Twitter. Twitter, causes your heart to Twitter, when you get on there. I guess that's why they named it that. And the number one, of course, was Katy Perry with 109 million followers. I didn't even look at hers either, because I've heard a clip or two of some of her songs. I know what it's all about. And number two was Justin Bieber. I mean, he's popping up and he's quoting scripture stuff on there, interlaced with some very odd and bizarre stuff, the holy with the profane, you might say. Number three, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was former President Obama with 102 million Twitter followers. Lady Gaga. Yes, I know who Lady Gaga is. I wish I didn't. But number 18 of the Twitter followers was President Trump. 52 million followers. But Brother Tim was nowhere near the top 20 or anything, because I don't even have a Twitter, okay? But I just thought this was interesting. So interesting to think about how easy it is to follow different things. And I'm not just picking on the social media. But some of this stuff that we see coming like this, it's happening so fast that it takes a while to process it. One of my favorite writers, a Christian apologist, and I listen to him often, is Ravi Zacharias. And this relates directly to the media stuff, I know. But I'm not just talking about following things on social media. I'm talking about who are you following in real time and real life too. But Ravi Zacharias made some amazing comments about the impact or the effect of visual media. I mean, visual media today is unprecedented. The things, the movies that are out, the TV shows, the binge watching and things like that. I mean, it's all visual. Whereas, like when I was in, elementary school and went to see Star Wars at the theater, seven times. Sorry, Brother Keith, I know you've never seen it, but it's okay. I went to see it seven times when I was in elementary school. I couldn't go home and watch it on Netflix. I couldn't go home and get a video of it. They didn't even have videos out back then. So my little heart was just, I got to see it again. So we'd go see it six or seven times. You have to go to the movie theater. You didn't have as much visual stuff right there in the palm of your hand, you see? So Ravi Zacharias, in commenting on the effect of visual media, is there's no need for imagination anymore. You know, for example, Lord of the Rings, one of my favorite series, and Hobbits. The Hobbit is great. I didn't have to read it growing up, I've told y'all, because Brother Chris told it to me, you know, into the wee hours of the night. He would tell me those stories, you know, and I was captivated until I fell asleep. Finally had to tell him to hush. But forever in my mind, as long as I live, the actor who played Gandalf, you know, has completely consumed the image of Gandalf that I had in my mind growing up before I saw it on the screen. You understand that? So the person who made that movie, the person who directed it, made it, got the actors together, they have imposed on my mind and your mind what they want you to see is their impression of who Gandalf is. Are you with me? So whereas if I were to ask you right now, if I said, okay, I want you to think of the word cake. I bet there's, what, how many people here? 100 plus people? There'd be 100 different ideas right now of cake. But if I took a picture out and showed you a picture of a cake and said, okay, cake, everybody'd be looking at that picture, would be impressed on your mind. You'd have, it would limit your ability to imagine what that cake was. Now, what I think about when I think of cake is probably vastly different from what y'all did. And yes, Mom, it is cinnamon cake. That's one of them. But also, I think of Grandmother McCool's layered applesauce cake. Good grief. My mouth will start watering. So you see, the effect of visual media, there's no more need for your imagination. See? And very few people read books anymore, that's for sure. But when you think of something, you know, your imagination causes you to have a thought. Well, I think it looks like this. I don't have to think that anymore when it comes to Gandalf from The Lord of the Rings, because I think of that actor. So, that's just a side comment on social media. But remember, everything you see, whether it's on a book, a picture in a book, or whether it's on the social media or whatever, those pictures are indelibly, absolutely impressed like a photograph in your mind. They actually take the place of your thought, trying to think of, well, what does this look like? It becomes your thought. Oh, don't tell me that media is not powerful. It's powerful, isn't it? 100 years ago, that didn't exist. Can you believe that? 100 years ago, it did not exist, especially didn't exist in this form. So we ask the question, who are you following? You see, the media of today can just spoon feed you what they think you need to follow. If it's a picture of a rainbow, which I associate the rainbow with Noah's Ark, you know, but the world pretty much associates the rainbow with the LGBT movement, see? I'm not going to let that usurp that meaning in my life. But everybody else, I mean, without even hesitation, thinks about the LGBT movement or some other product, you know, Nike or something. You see there, that's an impression that's made on your mind. It's really preaching to you. You say, well, I don't want to be preached to. You're preached to every day. Every day you are preached to. And we're not just talking to the young folks that are following this or following that. It can happen to anybody. You're preached to every day, from advertisements on TV to ads on the radio to things that pop up on your screen. You know, it's amazing when Brother Chris running for office, you know, they purchased Facebook ads and other type of social media ads, and they were regional. It's amazing, you know, that you're over here in California, you know, that Brother Chris's pop-up ad is, you know, vote for me, is not popping up over there. But here in West Alabama, when you go and you're looking at something in the region, I don't know how they know that. I mean, they know how they know it because they do it. But it's amazing. You get to see that local ad. You see, they're imposing. They're preaching to you. It's what they're doing. So here we have an interesting situation that I believe is totally applicable to whether you're following somebody on the social media or whether you're following somebody in real life, in real time, not in just an imaginary type world. Here is a young man that comes to Jesus who is doing some great things in his life. He's doing some wonderful things. Those things are listed. He's been doing this since he was a child. He was a good boy. He was a good young man. He was a good teen. He was a good young adult. He did not commit adultery. He did not kill. He did not steal. He did not bear false witness. He did not defraud anyone. And he honored his father and mother. I think we would agree. Those are all great things, are they not? Those are good things. But this young man had a problem in his life. There was something that was hindering him from experiencing the full fellowship and the full meaning and the full experience of the Lord in his life. And you know what? He was following something. He was following something. And I think it's really interesting that Jesus says this. Watch the language in verse 21. This is one of those paradoxes in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Now, after he says, one thing thou lackest, he goes off and he names seven things. So what we conclude from that is that Jesus sees these seven things that he tells this young man as one thing. Okay? So watch what he says. He says, one thing thou lackest. And he says, first, go thy way. There's an action. Sell whatsoever thou hast. There's a second action. And give to the poor. There's a third action. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. There's a recipient action. And come. There's an action. Take up thy cross. There's a sixth action. And follow me. One thing in seven actions. You know what that says to me? It don't let that confuse you. What that says to me is that our God is loving and patient with us. Did you hear? He didn't say, follow me and then go do these things. God is so long-suffering and patient. He understands how we get into things and follow things that we need to pull ourselves out of. And he gives him a seven-step process by which he finally gets on the road of following the Lord. And it all starts with the word go. Now, don't be confused either. The Lord's telling me to sell everything I've got. Let me tell you something. If you're following the things that you have and you're following the riches of this world, then yes, he's saying the same thing to you that he said to the rich young ruler. This is not Jesus telling us we've got to be paupers and we can't have anything in this life. No, this is Jesus telling us that if we're following something other than him, then we need to go and sell those things. You see? Now, look at the word go. Okay, and we're talking about who are you following. Jesus says you're lacking one thing, go. Go thy way. And the word go means to, it means to sink out of sight. Sink out of sight. Jesus said, get out of my sight. He didn't say it like that, but he was saying, go sink out of sight and go and take care of this that you need to take care of and then come back. Is that not a good indication for us? Sometimes we just need to sink out of sight. Sometimes we just need to disappear from maybe the social media or disappear from whatever we think we're following that might not necessarily be good for us. I'm telling you, this young man did not have a clue about what his problem was. He knew he had a problem. You hear me? He knew he had a problem because there was something missing in his heart. There was something not right there. But he hadn't quite put his finger on the problem yet. And the good Lord, so kind, so loving, so gracious, he puts his finger directly on the heart. And I've said it before. Well, the preacher stepped on my toes, and I've told you before, I'm not aiming for your toes. I'm aiming for your heart. I want you to feel what the impact of God's heart speaking to you is. And here's the heart of God. Here's the Son of God standing in front of this wonderful, obedient young man who's lived an upright, godly life. And for all practical purposes, on the outside looking in, this guy's got it all together. But within, he knew something wasn't right. Now, you know what he thinks wasn't right? The young man thinks, I'm not right in my relationship with God on getting to heaven. That's what the young man thinks. But this young man, as we've said before, is loved. God loves him. He's a child of God. We don't have to spend time talking about that. I know you believe that. He's a born-again, blood-bought child of God, but there's something missing in his life, and Jesus puts his finger right on it. Oh, are we willing to let Jesus put his finger right on what's missing in our lives? Are we willing to for him to point out to us, here's the one thing that's missing, and go and take these steps and do what you need to do so that you can follow me? Look, he says, go. Get out of here. Go sink out of sight. Take care of this business. Depart. And he says, sell whatsoever thou hast. To sell means to trade or to barter. Whatever this thing is that is hindering you from fully following me, he says, you need to sell it. You need to get rid of it. He says, give. And he says, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. The word give means to bestow or to grant. And notice what Jesus says. This is the paradox of the kingdom of heaven. He says, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have something. That doesn't make natural sense, does it? How can I give away? How can I sell and take it in, make it into money and give that away for this young man? How can I give that away and have something? See, that's the paradox of the kingdom of heaven. Way up is down. The way down is up. And Jesus says that in verse 31. He says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You see, this man was trusting in these possessions that he had. He was trusting in his stuff. He was trusting in his riches. And Jesus said, you need to get rid of it and give it away, and you'll have something that you can that cannot be measured against what you did have. You'll have treasure in heaven. You say, well, Brother Tim, I just don't understand that. Then you know what that means, don't you, child of God, who I love with all of my heart? It means you need to go and sell and give it away and have this treasure. You see, it can take the form of many, many things. And he says, come, get that out of the way so you won't have any hindrances, and come. The word right there is an imperative. It literally means come hither. It means get here as fast as you can. Go and sell as fast as you can. Maybe you need to go and sell a former belief that you had. Maybe you need to lay that down on the altar of God's love. Sell a former belief. Sell a social media site. Sell a friend. And I don't mean literally like they sold Joseph, but let that go so that you can better see and serve God. Oh, we get in these conditions all the time. We get in these conditions before we realize it. Things sometimes that even start out as a good thing. I hadn't used this example in a number of years, but I remember Brother Mackey telling me years ago, he had a friend, you know, that quit going to church. Well, why did they quit going to church? Well, they got in a habit of going to the nursing home, which is a good thing, to go visit the old folks, but they go at, you know, 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Sorry, I can't make it to church. I'm at the nursing home. It's a good thing to go to the nursing home. It's not a good thing to go at 10 o'clock when you're supposed to be at worship service. See? A good thing can turn into a bad thing. You see? And you say, well, Brother Tim, that's just your opinion. I don't want my opinion. I want what God says. And God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And if that 10 o'clock is the time that the church in general has set to assemble themselves together, then the person doesn't need to be at the nursing home. They need to be assembled with the saints. See? You see how a good thing can turn? They need to sell that time. Sell that time and give it to God. You see? He says, come, get here as fast as you can. And a child of God, I say that it's imperative today. You know, you're not getting any younger. Even you say, well, I'm 17, I'm 15, I'm 14. You're still not getting any younger. You're only getting older. It's amazing. Time flies. I can't believe I've got a married daughter. How did that happen? Well, I was telling Sister Tracy yesterday, we were driving from somewhere, from the wedding. Went to another wedding yesterday. We were driving back. I said, can you believe we've got a married daughter? What happened in the last year, you know? I mean, how did it happen? Boom, all of a sudden. You think life won't happen? It happens. It'll happen quick. And you're 14 now, and one day some of you may be 47 all of a sudden, and you look around, and maybe you're a deacon, maybe you're a church member, maybe you're preaching, whatever your situation may be. It happens. Time marches on before you realize it. That's why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:1, seek now thy creator in the days of thy youth, before the days come, like my dear mother said a few weeks ago, that you might not be able to get out to church and go because you're sick. See? Sell it. Sell whatever that is. Come. Get here as fast as you can. Oh, I like to, you know, somebody might miss church and they'll call me and they'll say, well, I don't do this all the time, but sometimes I'll just kind of tongue-in-cheek say, they'll say, oh, I missed that. How'd it go? I missed being there. How'd it go? It's the best sermon I ever heard. Not talking about mine, of course. Best meeting we ever had. And in one sense, it is. You know why? You know why each week to week is the best meeting you ever had? Because it's the one that you're at. It's the most recent one. Yeah, there was a great meeting a year or two ago or this time or that time. But this is now. This is the moment for repentance now. This is the moment for worship now. See, we're not in the past. We're here right now. And pretty soon we won't be here anymore. We'll be moving on to whatever else we have to do today. He says, come, get here. Take up thy cross. The word take there, it means to weigh anchor. One of the meanings is to weigh anchor. You know, take up the anchor and set sail. Take up thy cross. You say, how can I pick up something heavy like that and then bear it? Because you're following Jesus, and Jesus is bearing it with you. How many times in our lives when we think we're rejected, we think nobody's there, we think nobody cares, and yet the Lord is bearing that yoke even in that moment when we don't even think He's there? That's how good God is. And you would think that this rich young ruler, who was rich, young, he was a leader in the community, and I've said he was probably real handsome. He had it all. I wish I could tell you that he said, I'm going to go do that right now, Jesus. I'll be back. You going to be here? Or are you going down to the next town? It'll take me a day or two to get my property sold and give it away, and I'll meet you at the next town. He was sad. He was sad at that saying. And he went away grieved. The word sad means to be gloomy. It also means to be overcast with clouds or somber. Now listen to me now. Please, please don't miss this. This isn't Brother Tim standing there talking to the rich young ruler. This is the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords that never thought anything wrong, did anything wrong, only lived to serve and help. This is the Son of God. And those blessed words roll off of his tongue and go and penetrate the heart of this rich young ruler. And what does he do? He's sad. Oh, don't let that be you. Don't go away saying, well, Brother Tim said, I can't follow this. I can't follow that. I need to sell this. I need to sell that. Listen, the Lord is calling upon us to sell whatever object or possession or thought or attitude or belief that is hindering us from following him, taking up our cross and him bearing that cross with us. It's not me. It's the Word of God that calls upon us to do that. Don't go away sad. Don't go away grieved. It grieved means to be under stress, to make sorry, to be in heaviness. Listen, there's no denying that there is pleasure in sin for a season. There is no denying that. You can't get around that. There is pleasure in sin for a season. Over in the book of Hebrews, we read that Moses, when he was come to years, Hebrews 11 and 24, it says, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin for a season. But Moses made a choice. This choice was not to go to heaven. This choice was to serve God in this present time. This choice was to put down the most incredible, prosperous, pleasure-filled existence that a person could have had in those days, and that was to be a prince of Egypt. He set those things aside. He esteemed and he valued the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That's bizarre, isn't it? He chose to walk away from all of those pleasures and go and suffer with the slaves, the descendants of Jacob, because he understood something that I'm afraid many times we don't. The treasures that we gain in our heart and the joy in the Lord, the pleasure that we experience there, and it is an eternal pleasure. In the temporary pleasures of this world, there may be pleasure in sin for a season, but they cannot compare. And you say, well, I want to feel that, Brother Tim. I want to experience that. Go and sell whatever it is you need to sell and give it away and come and take up the cross and follow the Lord. In closing, we look at the words of Jesus further down in the chapter in Mark 10. It says in verse 22 that he was sad at that saying and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about him. That young man went away, walked away from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus looked around and said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And of course, the disciples are thinking, he's talking about heaven. He's not talking about heaven. And the disciples were astonished. You mean this guy's going to hell? But Jesus answered and clarified what he meant. And he said, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And let's fill in the blank for ourselves. How hard it is for us if we trust in social media. How hard it is that we trust in some friend. How hard it is. Listen, this is stings a little bit. But how hard it is if we trust in our spouse or our boyfriend or our girlfriend, whatever it may be. It's hard to enter into the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, God's church, taking up the cross and following. If we make that spouse, that friend, that object, those riches, that website, that social media, that following, whatever, fill in the blank. We're all creatures subject to that. It is hard for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven if those things are our ultimate things. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure. They still didn't get it. He said, who can be saved? Who can go to heaven? Jesus says you're on a different subject, but with God it's possible. With men it's impossible. With God all things are possible. And then Peter, he finally gets a little taste of it. He goes, oh, Peter's going, oh, he's not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about serving him right now. And Peter says, well, wait, we've left everything and we've followed you. What do we get? In that human nature. And Jesus said, I say unto you, there's no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. What are you following? I hope and pray that you'll go and sell and give and have treasure, and come, take up your cross, and follow the Lord.